Hello, and thank you for joining. This is Mrs. Horowitz, and I would like to share a thought with you on Parshas Shemos. The thought is based on an idea that I heard from my brother, Rabbi Chaim Leiter, an idea that has great significance, especially in 2021. It's a simple yet powerful idea. In the first parak of Shemos, we learned that the Mialdos, Shifra and Puah, were commanded by Paro to kill all the males. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Beis, tells us that there were three gezeros that Paro decreed. Number one, Imbeinhu Vahamiten, if it is a son, you shall kill him. Number two, Kala Ben Hayilod Hayaora Tashlichuhu, every son that is born, throw him into the river. And Basof, Af Alamo Gazar, Paro even decreed this on his own people. The decrees of Paro were progressively more strict. Rashi says that Paro did not set up overseers for the first decree to make sure that the male babies would be killed at childbirth because he relied on the midwives to do the job. When they didn't listen, he appointed police to see to it that the male babies would be thrown into the river. And finally, on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Paro applied the decree to the Mitzri males as well. And Paro wanted to keep the decree in force until his astrologers would see that the savior of Klal Yisrael was indeed thrown into the river. We have learned this over and over. We first learned it maybe in second and third grade, and we learn it in Parsha every year. But how often do we give real pause to the avdus, to the torture, and specifically to this heinous decree? Just give it thought for 2 minutes. A woman carries a baby for 9 months, and that child is immediately torn away from her. There are no words for the horror. The second parak begins with the words, Vayelach Ishmi Beis Levi. And the Gemara asks, Leheichan Halach? Why does the pasuk describe Amram as going? To which the Gemara answers, Shehalach b'etzas bito. He went according to the advice of his daughter. The Gemara tells us that Amram, who was the Gadol Hadar, once he saw that Paro had decreed regarding all of the boys being thrown into the river, Amram said, "What are we doing? We're doing this for nothing. We're having children for nothing." And he went and he divorced his wife Yochaved. Now, of course, this was not a simple decision that the Gadol Hadar made. He made it together with the Sanhedrin. And together they came to the decision that the boys were being thrown into the river, the girls were being born into a living Gehenna, to servitude, and the repulsive intentions of the Mitzrayim, the repulsive intentions that the Mitzrayim had for them, and they made the choice to separate. So Amram separated from Yocheved, and all of Klal Yisrael followed suit. Amra Lobito. What was the Eitza of Miriam? Miriam said three things. Abba, Kashet Gezeiras Chayoseh Mishal Paro. Your decree is worse than Paro's. He was Gazar on the males, but you are also Gazar on the Nekevos, on the females. Number two, Paro Gazar Ela Bolam Hazeh. Paro decreed only for this world, but you, Abba, decreed against not only life in this world, but in Olam Haba, in the world to come as well. And number three, Paro Harasha Safek Miskayemes Gezeiraso. With Paro, it's uncertain if his decree will work out, but Abba, Ata Tzadik B'vadai Shegezeirascha Miskayemes. You are a tzaddik. Absolutely your decree will be fulfilled. She had such faith, such hope. Even though the decision to separate from Yocheved was done with great consideration, after the three arguments from his daughter Miriam, Amram took Yocheved again. Vayikach ish mi bislevi. Clearly, Miriam's perspective was correct. It was more proper. There's a story told, an amazing story, by Rabbi Israel Tauber, Zichrono Levracha. Rabbi Tauber was a Kiruv professional who lived in Muncie, and he was a Holocaust survivor. He passed away in 2019 at the age of 80. So he was born in 1939, right before the war in Europe. His parents lived through the war and had four other children during the war. Three boys who all made it out and survived, Baruch Hashem, and one girl who Nebuch was experimented on by Mengele Yimach Shmo, and she did not survive. So between the years of 1939 and 1945, Mrs. Tauber had five children. Wherever she went, wherever she was sent, she had maybe a baby, some small children, and much of the time she was pregnant. People would say to her, "You are such a cruel woman. Why are you bringing babies into this horrible world? Don't you see what we're all living through? Why would you bring more children into this horror?" After the war, Mrs. Tauber would repeat what people had said to her during the war, and her son and others, but her son Azriel would quietly wonder to himself, "Yeah, Ma, what were you thinking? Why did you bring children into such a chaotic and torturous existence? No one else was doing that." But of course, he was respectful, and he kept his thoughts to himself. But those thoughts gnawed at him. At the very end of his mother's life, Rabbi Tauber found the courage to ask his mother, his very frail and sickly mother, why she had done it, why she had brought those children into such a horror. Rabbi Tauber was not quite ready for his mother's response. Mrs. Tauber sat herself up to a tall, upright position, and she screamed, "Azriel, you are a shaita. You are a fool. You don't think like a Jew." Mrs. Tauber, one of the Nashim Tzidkaniyos of the last generation, clearly understood what Miriam HaNeviah shared with her father Amram. There is more to life than Olam Hazeh. Our Chachamim discuss the question of at what point the neshama enters the guf. Some say at conception, others at birth. Some say at the bris. Some say when the child enters utters his first word. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal paskins that the neshama enters at conception, which means that every Jew, including every Jewish embryo and every Jewish fetus, has a place in Olam Haba. He has Nitzrius. Miriam HaNeviah understood this, and because of that understanding, because she thought like a Jew, the survivor of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, was born. Bishvil Nashim Tzidkaniyus Nig'alu Mimitzrayim. We were redeemed from Mitzrayim because Miriam and all the Jewish women understood that life is more than Olam Hazeh. They had hope that the Gezeros of Paro would not stand and the children they would bear would survive. But even if they didn't, it was worth conceiving those nefashos so that they could gain eternity in Olam Haba and as the pure souls that they were. Our ancestors, the women in Mitzrayim, thought like Jews. And in 2021, it is our turn to learn to think like Jews, to have hope and to have faith. Things are often challenging and painful, but like Mrs. Tauber, we always have to do ours and believe that tomorrow Hashem can change everything. Yeshua Hashem Karef Ayin. Four of Mrs. Tauber's five children survived the war, and they thrived in Olam Hazeh in a way that would earn them a place in the internal world. And the beautiful daughter that Nebuch didn't make it, she is in her special place in Olam Haba. The world wants us to believe otherwise, but we know that life in this world, all life, is precious. Not because of the fun, excitement, pleasures, and adventures, though they have their place. Every minute in this life is precious because it affords us the opportunity to be an Eved Hashem, to be Megala Kavod Shamayim, and earn our place in the eternal world. Like Mrs. Tauber, let's think like a Jew. And as the Nashim Tzidkaniyos in Mitzrayim brought the Geula, Be'ezus Hashem, Bishvil Nashim Tzidkaniyos Yigalu. May our thoughts and our actions as Jews bring the ultimate Geula. B'mheira v'yaminu. Agotin Shabbos.